Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was talk singing.
What I'm telling you, Kelly Savalas.
N-Y-C.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back, Willard and Dibs, but no Willard and Dibs. It's Grandy and Sterling with you here until 6 o'clock. Then we get ready for Warriors basketball. They're hosting OKC, but no Steph, no Jimmy, no Draymond, no D'Anthony Melton. And others. We'll talk about that more later here, of course, on 95.7 The Game. That rejoin, that clip that you just heard over the air, played by the great Steven Rizzotto behind the glass. Also shout out to Cam, working double duty this show, and then the Warriors coming up later tonight as well. That was Mark Willard with Steve Young. And Steve Young fits into this conversation, Sterling, because you said something on the crossover that I think, you know, it got all of our attention, and I think it got the attention of Niner fans out there listening, too. You said that Brock Purdy, what, is the best quarterback, playing the best, the most exciting, doing the most dominant and not a quarterback has been since that guy, Steve Young, won a Super Bowl for the Niners? Is that what you said, Sterling?
Mm.
This is the best quarterback play we have seen by a San Francisco 49ers quarterback since Steve Young in 1994, 1995, when they won the Super Bowl against the Chargers and just stomped him. Brock Purdy, the way he's playing the last six games, this is the best quarterback play we've seen in 30 years.
Okay. I mean, the other options are what? Jeff Garcia, it's, you know, that one-year stretch of Colin Kaepernick. Maybe two-year stretch of Colin Kaepernick, really one and a half, but he's definitely up there. There's an easy argument to be made for it. You're absolutely right, no doubt.
I think when it comes to passing the football, I think it's not even a conversation. I love Colin Kaepernick. His legs were the big reason why he was so explosive. He changed the way, along with Cam Newton, how he viewed the modern quarterback and the usage of their legs. But I love Cap. He wasn't the pure pocket passer
absolutely
you need to have.
And, yeah.
And I think Brock is the best combination of the ability to run, extend plays, be a playmaker with his legs, but also the precision, the throws, the timing, the accuracy. This, to me, is the best pure quarterbacking, if you want to use that version of the word, we've seen in the last 30 years or so. And really, the Niners have had success over the last 30 years. Jimmy Garoppolo, Cap, Smith, and even Garcia involved in there too. But this to me, is head and shoulders the best one we've seen in 30 years.
It's interesting because I think it kind of goes hand in hand with what we just heard from Greg Cosell talking about Brock Purdy. And you're talking about, like, just specifically the passing game, and you can include everything else because it's not like Brock just is a pocket passer, but it's what Cosell said Brock is best at. And he's certainly better as a pocket passer than a Colin Kaepernick. I would think much better than Jimmy Garoppolo as well. And Jeff Garcia was by no means a bad quarterback, and he was really gritty and tough and took hits and all of that. But Brock, I think, is better in that regard as well. It's something I saw this pop up on my Twitter yesterday, and maybe you saw it too, Sterling, because Bonte said that you live on Twitter during the crossover, which maybe that's true. I don't know.
Maybe a little too much.
Maybe a little bit too much. But I don't know if you watched the Ole Miss-Georgia game last night down in New Orleans in the Sugar Bowl. And Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss kind of stole the show. And he's a transfer from Ferris State. He was a D2 national champ last year and was recruited by Lane Kiffin to transfer to Ole Miss and become the team's backup. But very quickly became the team's starter. And now is a Sugar Bowl champion and was awesome last night in that win. And I saw someone tweet this, and it's not like an NFL guy or a college guy by any stretch of the imagination. It was an NBA guy that I follow and I respect. I don't want to name him, but that I respect for his basketball takes. And he just tweeted, like, I'm confused. Trinidad Chambliss looks like the best quarterback I've ever seen play college football. Why is he not being talked about as a potential, like, number one pick? Like Fernando Mendoza, the Heisman winner. Like Dante Moore, the Oregon quarterback. And I didn't just bring this up to get that out, but that was what the tweet was. And my mind initially went to, yeah, Trinidad Chambliss had an amazing game and is having an awesome season and is an incredible story. And I'm not downplaying what he could do at the next level. He's a redshirt senior, but there's a chance that he could get another year of eligibility because the NCAA just kind of makes up rules as they go.
How fun.
But whenever he declares and goes to the draft, I'm sure he's going to get drafted because you can't do this at the SEC level and in the national level and not get drafted, in my opinion. But my mind first went to the exact same thing Cosell just talked about and what you're talking about. If you watched the game, you know what I'm talking about when I say those Trinidad Chambliss amazing plays in the fourth quarter. There was a big third down. They were deep in their own territory, and he was pressured off the right side, immediately off the defense's right side, Chambliss's left side. Immediately, he ran far to the right, but then pressure came that side. So what did he do? He ran like 20 yards backwards, reversed field, got back near the line of scrimmage because he just outran those defensive linemen and then completed a pass for a first down. The drive stayed alive. That resulted in a go-ahead touchdown drive in the fourth quarter. And there were two other plays that he made on the run. So to answer that person's question, who I saw tweet it, why isn't he being considered as like the top quarterback in this draft class? And maybe that will change because of what he did last night. But my mind first goes to, because if you're just relying on that crazy athleticism, it's not going to work in the NFL, Sterling. And that's why I think Brock Purdy and his basis as a great pocket passer is why he's had so much success. The ability to extend plays and to make magic happen with your feet obviously is a plus, but just because you're athletic and can run away from guys in the college level does not mean it's going to work at the NFL level. We see it all the time. So I just want to make sure, and you're on top of it with what you're talking about in terms of why Brock is the best quarterback the Niners have had since Steve Young, because of what he does in the pocket. That will always and forever be the most important thing a quarterback can do. Lamar is not a bad pocket passer by any stretch and is so much better than anybody gave him credit for. His athleticism, when healthy, is on a different level than anybody that we've ever seen, maybe other than Michael Vick at this level. But he wouldn't be able to make it if that's all he was. And I'm not saying that's what Trinidad Chambliss is. This is not even about him. It was an amazing game, and he was absolutely awesome. But if you can't survive as a pocket passer, you will not survive in the NFL as a quarterback.
Well, I think we've even seen that in San Francisco, right? They draft Trey Lance a couple years ago, take a big risk, and what's the one thing Trey couldn't do, at least immediately, in this team's window? It was be a pure pocket passer.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know there's conspiracy theories there as they did to give him a chance or not, but it's clear as day he wasn't good enough at the point in time as a pocket passer, and it's why you saw Brock Purdy ascend up the depth chart, and you had Shanahan saying, we have a problem on our hand. Our third-string guy that we drafted this year, the last pick of the draft, the best one we got. And there's a reason why now Brock is getting paid, you know, $200-plus million and is paid with the likes of Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa, the last one being the worst of that bunch, obviously. It just shows you that while the NFL changes and there are things that can make you more dynamic, like utilizing your legs, and you've seen the NFL go from a pure pocket passer, statuesque quarterback like a Mac Jones, to your more of your Caleb Williams, your Mahomes, your Allens, your Burrows, your Jackson guys, where you want to find the best marriage of the two, right? You want to find the balance of mobility and to be able to throw in the pocket on time, under pressure and whatnot. And Purdy has been able to do that. Now, no one's saying he's the best quarterback in the NFL. He's not. No one's saying he's the best quarterback even in his own division, because he may not be with Matthew Stafford having a great year. But when that other quarterback is the best in football, probably going to win the MVP, and you say Purdy's the second best guy and say right now, in my opinion, he's the best quarterback San Francisco's had in the last 30 years, I think it's really hard to argue against that point simply because Purdy has found the balance, right? Now, it's like, I don't want to utilize the Marvel analogy, but it's like Thanos, right? You want to find balance in the universe.
God.
And granted, he was using some ulterior things to get to the end game for himself in the end point, but in a much more civil way to look at things, Purdy has found that balance of being a pure pocket passer with anticipation, playing on time, but also being able to utilize his legs, keep plays alive, and also make plays and extend broken plays for this offense.
Okay, and that brings me to what Sam Darnold has said about Brock Purdy. And I apologize. I think I first teased this like 2 hours ago, and I'm just getting around to it now. It's easy.
We are playing the long game, Grandy.
It's easy to get distracted when you've got a game like tomorrow to talk about. Sam Darnold, Seahawks quarterback, Brock Purdy, Niners quarterback. They were teammates 2 years ago when the Niners signed Sam Darnold kind of as a reclamation project. And he served as the backup to Brock Purdy, basically only played in that one game the final week of the season when the Niners lost. They did not need to win because they already had wrapped up the number one seed in the NFC. And Darnold wasn't like amazing in that game, but it wasn't terrible either. Then got signed by the Vikings. And despite the fact that they drafted J.J. McCarthy, was their starter the whole year because McCarthy got injured before the season began, and Darnold kind of like lucked into a spot where he was going to start after 1 year with the Niners and was amazing. Led the Vikings to an amazing season. They made the playoffs, and then unfortunately for him, had his worst performance of the season in the playoffs, and they didn't win a postseason game. And then he gets signed to a relatively big deal from the Seahawks and has a good season, not a great, amazing season, but a pretty darn good season, specifically like a good first 10 weeks. And before that season, though, after he was signed by the Seahawks, this is what he had to say during his introductory press conference about his opponent tomorrow, Brock Purdy. Here is Sam Darnold back in March talking about Brock Purdy.
I really, you know, thank Brock a ton, Brock Purdy, for, you know, just his style of playing and how he kind of described his style. Was like, we got a ton of great playmakers on offense. Like, my job is just to play point guard and get the ball in their hands and let them go do great things with the rock. And when I started to change my thought process as a quarterback to kind of just getting the ball in my guys' hands, then that really, that's kind of where it unlocked for me a little bit.
That's Sam Darnold talking about Brock Purdy. And I know that sounds relatively straightforward and simple, Sterling, but like, that's a big deal. This is a guy in Sam Darnold who quarterbacked at USC, had weapons all the time at USC. Maybe not so much, you know, in the NFL level with the Jets, and he had some time with the Panthers and all of that, but he's been around, he's been to multiple spots before, and it wasn't until Brock Purdy said, hey, Sam, figure it out, dude. Just get the ball to your studs and let them do the work for you, that he finally kind of figured out this NFL quarterbacking thing, and now he's quarterbacking potentially the number one seed in the NFC in the Seattle Seahawks. So, I don't know. It's interesting that these two dudes are facing off tomorrow for the one seed for the NFC West, and it is Sam Darnold who credits Brock Purdy for basically turning his career around, or at least giving him the needed information that has allowed him to turn his career around.
You almost wish he didn't do that, because it'd make it a lot easier for the 49ers tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I also think it's important to point out that they were teammates, what, in Brock's second season?
Yes.
In his first, like, full year as a starter, yes. And Brock Purdy's just like, look, dude, this thing really ain't that hard. Just play point guard and you figure it out. And, you know, the knowledge Purdy had, obviously, and I'm sure a lot of that was from Shanahan saying, look, yeah, take pressure off yourself. All you got, like, you have the team around you, let them cook, and you can just pass things off. But I also think we have seen both these quarterbacks grow, where, yeah, maybe for Sam it was okay, you know, I can just play point guard for a little bit, and Purdy was doing that a lot, which is why a lot of people weren't truly buying into what he had to offer, and funny enough, that includes this offseason and during this year, because the way Mac Jones played, but Purdy almost simplified quarterback play for Sam Darnold, and now both those guys have taken the next steps in their evolution as quarterbacks, or seeing Sam being one of the best deep ball passers in football, one of the best in play action. You're seeing Purdy in this last month and a half look like, you know, I don't know, again, one of the best quarterbacks we've seen this year, certainly. But I also think, you know, from where Purdy started, where he began, it shows us that, you know, a lot of people didn't think we'd see this from Brock, and it's a testament to the growth he's had since that point in time, a year or two, saying, just play point guard. Brock ain't just playing point guard anymore, man. He's alley-ooping to himself. He's slam dunking up things. Like, he has grown from point guard to now, you know, like the Clippers of Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan.
Bob City.
Like, it's incredible, right? And, you know, I think we have seen, I think Evan pointed out earlier in the crossover about, you know, McCaffrey being kind of like Stephen Curry late in his career, but now you're seeing that version of Christian McCaffrey, an older version of McCaffrey, now mixed with the best version of Brock Purdy. And it's kind of crazy to see, like, your eyes kind of open up to, like, oh, there's more here. We did not know this was possible. And that gets you really excited, too. But, Purdy, don't help the backup quarterbacks. They may come to play you one day for your division and the number one seed. So stop passing on your knowledge and keep it a secret more often than not. Please, please.
Yeah, most starting quarterbacks actively, I don't know if this is fair, a lot of starting quarterbacks would be hesitant to help their backups. I'll put it that way.
Be Aaron Rodgers. I do not... I'm not a mentor.
Be Tom Brady to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. Get him traded away. He's the opposition. Sam Darnold is the ops.
Exactly. And Brock, it seemed like, willingly able to support his backup quarterback at the time, which was Sam Darnold, who now is the opponent tomorrow. And I do think it is a little interesting that these are, you know, a couple of quarterbacks, and specifically, you know, the Niners and their familiarity with Sam Darnold plays into this conversation. Like, if you are the Seahawks and you're trying to figure out how to game plan against the Niners, I mean, the Seahawks, they have some connections to the 49ers. I mean, obviously you're talking about Sam Darnold, who was a Niner quarterback a couple of years ago. And the name is escaping me, Sterling. One of the Kubiaks. Is it Clint? Which Kubiak is the Seahawks offensive coordinator?
It's Clint, I believe.
Clint?
Yes.
There's connections to Kubiaks and Shanahans have been coaching together for such a long time. There's a lot of connections here, and I wonder what the mind games are going to be tomorrow, Sterling, because, again, there is a lot the Niners know about Sam Darnold. There's a lot they know about that offensive system. Now, Mike McDonald has been one of the few defensive coordinators and defensive guys that have had success against the Niners and Shanahan's offense. There is a lot of familiarity in this matchup, kind of similar to all the Niners-Rams matchups, where it's a chess match every single game, which is why I think so much of this game is going to come down to, can Shanahan out-navigate his offense against Mike McDonald's defense? Because those are two of the best at those respective sides of the football. And this honestly might come down to just how good of a position does Kyle Shanahan put his offense in versus that really good defense. This is the game for Shanahan to flex his muscles more than he already has this year, which is a lot. And, I mean, frankly, if he wins tomorrow, Sterling, he's the coach of the year. Lock it up. He's the coach of the year if he wins tomorrow's matchup. In my mind, frankly, if he loses, maybe it's Mike McDonald. Otherwise, maybe it's Vrabel in New England. But this is a game for Shanahan to continue to display just how good he's been so far this season.
It's almost like Shanahan and company have been working on their summer bodies. They've been in the gym. They've been lifting plates, as Jim Cosimore used to say. And they're getting stronger and stronger, but they haven't had the reveal just yet. They've been hiding in the shadows, waiting to show off their summer body. And on January 3rd, they're going to come out there and be like, look at me now. And hopefully it's a victory. And if they can do that, you'll say the hard work's paid off and it's much deserved. So hopefully tomorrow we get the Shanahan summer body expose at Levi Stadium, because it could be worth the wait. Because this team, I think, while we can talk about the success they've had, it all comes down to this. Nothing you've done against Chicago, Tennessee, Cleveland, any team you've won in this last six games matters. It all goes away. This is really a one-game playoff. I know you have games ahead of you. You're in the playoffs already, but this game means so much into the future of this team in 2025 and going into the playoffs. But you know, really, if you want to get into a further conversation, and I know we're not going to, but it's like Robert Saleh could be gone during the offseason. Yep. Guys are injured and may not come back. You just don't know. And so, you know, Brandon Ayuk will be gone, and this, that, and the other. Trent may retire. It opens a whole, you know, Pandora's box of stuff. But, like, this to me is the moment. And, you know, the pressure on this team and the way the trade deadline, you know, worked out, not really making a move and everything, like, it all kind of builds to this of, like, can you get over the hump? And if you can against Seattle, there's questions of what you could have done, what you didn't do during the midpoint of the season. But also, I see some fans maybe sit back and say, what a waste, you know, because you have your best quarterback play you've had in 30 years, and Shanahan's calling his best stuff, and you can't find a way to win. You're wasting what has been maybe one of your best opportunities offensively to maybe finally get that sixth Lombardi trophy.
I mean, I'm nodding along with you there. Yeah, they should have done more at the trade deadline. Now, I understand why they didn't, because you and I are sitting here, and Bonte asked, like, on the crossovers, how do you feel? And I told you, I'm just still coming to terms with the fact that this is all still happening. The fact that they're fighting for the one seed. Like, pinch me. Like, am I dreaming? Like, this is actually what's going on. So you're the Niners, and, you know, a number of weeks ago, months ago, you had to make a decision based on what you thought this season was going to be. And the Niners probably decided, well, best case scenario, we sneak in as the 6 or the 7 seed. we sneak in as a 6 or the 7. We got to go on the road to somewhere like Philly or LA or something like that. And, you know, we're going to give it our best, but we're not really counting on a deep postseason run. So, no, I'm not willing to give up a third round pick for a pass rusher or whatever the case is. But you look at it now, Sterling, and you're a win away from being the number one seed in the NFC. And if you do that, you're one win away from hosting the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? A third round pick for someone like Jalen Phillips feels absolutely worth it now. What the hell were they thinking? But again, on the flip side, I can understand why they didn't, because who thought this was possible? But the reality is it's happened. And now they're sitting at this at a spot where they need their offense to be darn near perfect. Otherwise, they're probably going to lose. And if they lose, you're looking at Philadelphia, LA, Seattle as maybe your three postseason games should you win your first two. Like, that seems downright impossible. Not that one player for a third-round pick would make a gigantic difference, but it would make me feel a whole lot better about that group than I currently feel, Sterling.
Which, I mean, I don't know about you, but the confidence level I have in the defense is almost the inverse of the offense, where I'm like, oh yeah, the offense can score on every single drive and I wouldn't be shocked. And I was sitting here like, yep, that's how good they are. And the defense can give up points every single drive. And I'm sitting here like, well, that's who they are too. That's just the way things are. And, you know, obviously hindsight's 20/20. You can look back and say what if and, you know, what could have been all the time. And, you know, whether it's Jalen Phillips or Jermaine Johnson or, you know, Kayvon Thibodeau, Trey Hendrickson, guys like that, it could have been had, or at least were rumored to be available. I don't know. It just, I will stand pat or stand by my thought of, like, there wasn't a move that could have been made, because if it could have been made, it would have been made. But I also don't expect, and maybe this goes into how great Brock Purdy's been, I don't think they expected this from Brock Purdy. They knew Purdy was great, but I don't think if you asked John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, were you expecting next level, near MVP, like, you know, month and a half performance from Brock Purdy, and you're going to get that, I wouldn't be shocked, and they won't admit this, this probably surprised them too, that Brock Purdy's playing this good and the offense has caught fire as hot as they have been. Like, they did not see this on the table for them, and maybe that's, you know, a pitfall in their vision for this team, but I think it goes more into Brock Purdy's playing so over his skis that it has had us, including myself, reevaluate how good he can be at the NFL level.
Yeah, you're hitting on a lot that I want to continue talking about. We'll do that when we come back. Coming up, though, in a few hours, the Warriors host the Thunder at 7 o'clock, which means Warriors Live starts at 6, presented by Xfinity. I'll have it for you here on 95.7 The Game. Xfinity, though, your home court advantage, brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. More talk about the Niners and the decision at the trade deadline to not go for it, really, but can't really blame them considering what we all thought about this team way back when. That's what's coming up here on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's Willard and Dibs, Grandy and Sterling with you on this 2nd of January. Happy New Year. Back with more after this on 95.7 The Game.